ancient one, the Tana de Baleo. However, there, the Nusach is La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim Basese. One should be a Yerei Shemayim inside, privately, hidden. And similarly, in the Nusach HaTfilah, as it is cited by the Rambam, it seems obvious that the reason was that they were speaking of times when Jews were persecuted, it was difficult to practice your Yiddishkeit, your Judaism openly, and so they wanted to make sure that La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim is La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim Basese. One should be a Yerei Shemayim inside, privately, hidden. And similarly, in the Nusach HaTfilah, as it is cited by the Rambam, it seems obvious that the reason was that they were speaking of times when Jews were persecuted, it was difficult to practice your Yiddishkeit, your Judaism openly, and so they wanted to make sure that La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim Baseser, if you can't do it outwardly, at least do it inwardly. However, the tradition as it has come down to us is that we all say Yerei Shemayim Baseser Uvagoloi. In almost every Nusach HaTfilah of all the Eidot, that is what we say. And the question is why? Why do we have both Baseser Uvagoloi? Would have been much simpler to say La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim. You have to be a Yerei Shemayim. Why get both sides of the coin? I'd like to suggest that what this tefillah is telling us is that there are two kinds of Yerei Shemayim. There's a Yerei Shemayim that is Baseser in the hiddenness of one's own private existence, and there's a Yerei Shemayim or a Yerei Shemayim Bagoli that leads one outward and that expresses his Yerei Shemayim going outwards. One is inside, one is outside. And although they are continuous, they are not identical. Yerei Shemayim inside means the piety of and for oneself. It fills only the inner space of a human being, where a person is concerned with his own spiritual growth and his welfare and his godless, constant growth in Torah, whereby he experiences a kind of, what shall I call it, a noble egotism of the soul, which sometimes can develop into a spiritual narcissism, only concerned with my own growth. It's focused only on my own avodas Hashem, and I shut the world off in order for this kind of Yerei Shemayim to flourish. It is a reliving of what Moshe was told when he came up for Matan, for Kabbalah Satorah, the ish lo ya'ale imach. No one will go with you. You are alone, and you fashion your spiritual destiny out of this loneliness. But there's another kind of Yerei Shemayim, and that's Begolui. This is an outgoing piety, an emphasis not on the self, but on others, on the world, whereby we are worried about others' welfare, both spiritual and material, where we are seized by a kind of spiritual altruism, where we feel bound by a common creatureliness with other Jews, with other human beings. In fact, with all forms of life in God's rich creation. And here we relive the pasuk, Kol HaNeshama Tahaleoka, I together with everything that breathes, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we are instructed, La'olam Yehe Adam Yerei Shemayim, Baseser Uvagoloi, we have to practice both. And what is true for people generally is doubly true for Rabbanim. The rabbinate, which is a subtle blend of kahuna and nevuah, of priesthood and prophecy, requires that it be practiced and lived on two levels, inside and out. A rav must have a private and a public orientation. The special Yerei Shemayim of a rav, the seser, that which relates to his private sphere, comprises a number of areas. I'm here speaking to my masmuchim. Above all, in that Sefer, it is required that you continue Talmud Torah. True, it is incumbent upon all Jews, but even Rabbonim have to continue to learn. And as Rabbonim, you are doubly fortunate, because as Rabbonim of communities, shuls, or educators, you both learn and teach. And this is an expression of both Ahavas HaTorah and Ahavas Yisrael. When Rabbi Akiva said that V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, that thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself is a great principle in Torah, the Kotzke said, it's a great klal in Torah. If you really want to express your Ahavas Yisrael, you will teach Torah to Am Yisrael. There's no better way of expressing such love. So my dear young friends, there is never any excuse to become lax. I am confident that all of you will continue to learn. I remind you, however, that it is not enough to continue on the level at which you are teaching, whether children or balabatim. No musmach of a yeshiva dominated by the gestalt of the Rav Shlita and continued by his distinguished Talmidim who are Yerud Abayim and by the other Rashi yeshiva can abide merely superficial learning. It is required of you that you continue on the highest level of learning. In addition, you must make up by yourselves all that you did not have time to learn here, and we didn't have time to teach you in class. All the rest of Shas that you never completed. Acquaintance with Psak and with Chuvis. Not only Halacha, but also Machshava. And whatever Mitzvah of the Torah, develop it, and if it's worthy enough, I plead with you, publish it. Because that's a great spur to continued learning. It's an ethical note too. The Sefer HaChassidim tells us, Kol mi shegila lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu davar ve'eno kosvan hareyu gozel mi shegila lo kilo gila lo ala lichto. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed to you something special, a chidush, something novel, something that you have to contribute and you don't publish it, you're stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he revealed it to you only because he wants you to share it with others. And to keep it as your private treasure is an act of Torah selfishness. But equally important, Halacha sets a special criterion, character criterion for Rabbanim. It is a more stringent code of midos for rabbis. And on behalf of your Rabbeim, I insist that you learn well and deeply and apply carefully and wisely the fifth Perek of Hilchas Deis of Rambam. It is the law of Yirah Shemayim Baseser, the inside conduct of a Chacham or a Rav. For now, permit me to recite only the opening of Halacha Aleph, which is really an outline of Adam Breis, all that is to follow. And then also the last Halacha, Halacha Yud Gimel, to which I want you to give some special attention. Kishem says the Rambam, Kishem shehachacham nikar b'chachmaso v'dayosav, v'hum muvdol behem mishar ha'am. Just as a chacham, a chacham, or a rabbi, a rav, is distinguished from all others by his wisdom, by his outlook, kach tzorech sheh nikar b'masav, so must he be different in his conduct. And when he speaks of conduct, he speaks of very mundane things. V'machalo v'mashkeo, how a rabbi eats and drinks, v'ilosso v'asiyah sarchav, in his most intimate activities, v'diburo v'hilucho, how a rav speaks, especially of others, and how he responds to them, how he walks, malbusho v'chilkul dvarav, how he dresses, how he organizes his speech, v'maso v'matano, how he does business, all of these must be appropriate, proper, decent. What the Rambam is giving us, in other words, is the methods for achieving dignity as a rav, as required by the halacha. And after he describes them, in Halacha Yud Gimel, he says something which I especially commend to your attention. Business. Maso matano shatamel chacham be'emes uve'emunah. It has to be done truthfully, honestly. Omar alav lav al hain hain. He must never say a thing which is in any way not correct. If he is required to give something and he is required to take something, then when it comes to taking, he must be lax and not insist upon anything. If he gets less, he gets less. If he has to give, he must be very careful never to give less than he should give. And then the Rambam says, "Minoseng mei hamekach li'altar." If he buys something, he never postpones payment, but he pays immediately. Let me apply it to you, my dear Mitzvah. Your education at Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan the last 4 years was the community's and yeshiva's gift to those who are preparing for a life dedicated to Avodas HaKodesh, the service, the Torah, and the Jewish community. So if, as is true for most of you, your goal is the rabbinate, Jewish education, Jewish communal service, you are not required to repay for your learning here all these years. You are only asked to remember that rabbis too must give tzedakah, and as your benefactors for many years, we appeal to your sense of fair play to direct some of your toivat hanoah to the yeshiva as well. But if, after all, some of you decide to devote your careers to something other than avodas hakodesh, to business or accounting or law or medicine or computers, anything, and all of which, incidentally, are generally more lucrative than the rabbinate, comes Hilchas Deyos Perek Hey, V'noseh Dmei HaMekach Li'Altar. I'm willing to forego the last word of Li'Altar, of making it immediate. But sooner or later, we expect you to support your yeshiva to the degree that you are supported by it as a matter of priyas chov, as indebtedness, and not merely as tzedakah. Afterwards, you must add to it, as do other mismachim, as an act of tzedakah, so that others can also benefit as you did. Do this, and we will know with pride that you are Yirei Shemayim, B'Seser, truly Rabbonim on the inside. But a rabbi must also be a Yirei Shemayim Begoli, one whose concern radiates beyond himself, beyond his shul, beyond his school, beyond his community. And that means, in one word, spiritual leadership. I know not everyone has the capacity for broad leadership, but every one of you has some measure of leadership that he can exercise, sometimes despite himself. And spiritual leadership has many dimensions. And allow me to enumerate but three of them, which are equivalent in ascending order to increasing levels and responsibilities of enhanced leadership. Not all of you will reach the highest degree, but all. Not everyone has the capacity for broad leadership, but every one of you has some measure of leadership that he can exercise, sometimes despite himself. And spiritual leadership has many dimensions. And allow me to enumerate but three of them, which are equivalent in ascending order to increasing levels and responsibilities of enhanced leadership. Not all of you will reach the highest degree, but all of you certainly must attempt the first one. And the first one is the readiness, as I've mentioned, to have your concern embrace Klal Yisrael and even humanity. And you must never fall prey to that comfortable but execrable and scandalous notion that the term Klal Yisrael is restricted only to those who think and do exactly as you do. The most elementary level of leadership requires that you step out of the Daladamas of the Beis HaMedrash and venture into the Reshus HaRabim. To be genuine and effective leaders of Am Yisrael, you must be ready for the wrenching experience of emerging from this warm and nurturing milieu of the yeshiva and into the tumultuous, frustrating, often false and defiant public arena. And it is cold outside. I do not mean, chas v'sholem, that you can close the door on the Beis Medrash behind you. Chas v'sholem, as if anyone ever graduates from Talmud Torah. but that to a large extent you must turn from your concern only inward to one that is outward, that you venture out of yourself to face the rest of the world. I know many rabbis, both young and old, who are wonderful human beings, great Jews, fine Talmidei Chachamim, but as Rabbanim, they are incomplete. They are Rabbanim B'Seser, but not B'Goli. And that simply will not do. The Orthodox community and the Jewish world are yearning for leadership, and they are impatient. I mentioned earlier that the rabbinate is a blend of kahuna and nevuah. The outside mission of the rabbi is his prophetic function. I'd like to share with you a thought that I heard a few months ago from the Rav Roshi of Israel, Rav Avraham Shapiro Shlita. In a famous passage of Eliyahu Hanavi, confronting the prophets of the Baal on Har HaKarmel, he proclaims, Ani nosarti nevi Hashem levadi. I alone remain of all who is a prophet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hanavi. That's a remarkable thing. How can he say, Ani nosarti levadi nevi Hashem? When 9 psukim earlier, Avadya told the same Eliyahu that he personally was hiding 100 Nevi'im in a cave. 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave. How can Eliyahu say, Ani nosarti nevi Hashem levadi? Not true. And the answer, says Rav Shapiro, is that a prophet who stays in a cave is not a prophet. A Navi was behalzach and a Ma'ara is nishka Navi. A cave is secure and safe and protective. But one who does not venture out of it to meet the brute realities of real life to which ordinary Jews are subjected, one who prefers safety over risk and caves over vision and his own security over his people's needs, is no prophet. And the same holds true for the rabbinate. A rabbinic leader who refuses to emerge out of the cave of his shul or his cheder or his yeshiva is the Yerei Shemayim B'Seser, but not the Goli, who is satisfied to be a rabbi only inside and not outside, may be a Yerei Shemayim and may be a Rav, but he has not reached the fullness of Rabbanus, and he certainly is not and cannot be a leader. I recommend to you as role models in this respect those who in our very own times were able to lead Shlomo Emuna Yisrael by exercising influence in the outside world, in a way converting the outside into the inside. And these include people like the founder of our yeshiva, Rav Bernard Revels, Zecharei Levracha, who built this yeshiva and endowed its ideology, often against great opposition. People of other yeshivas like the Five of Mendelovich, Zecharei Levracha, who built Torah V'Das, the Aaron Kotler Zatzal, who built not only the Lakewood Yeshiva, but inspired Kolim around the country, and Rav Bloch, who built Hells in Cleveland, and Rav Rudeman, who did the same for Nei Yisrael in Baltimore. My revered predecessor and my Rebbe, Dr. Samuel Belkin, Zecharei Levracha, who began in a shtetl as a brilliant Talmud Chacham, who grew in both Torah and Mada, and then led this institution in its most constructive phase in its history. And Lahavdil ben Chaim l'Chaim, our own great mentor, the Rav, whose word and guidance were sought by multitudes of Jews and even non-Jews, an alumni of our yeshiva, who founded and led Torah and Mesorah in its beginnings and when it reached its heights, who founded day schools and mikvos and shuls around the country, who rose to head the most prestigious and important Jewish communal organizations in the land and brought glory to the Torah community. These were not Rabbonim who abide by our definition of Yerei Shemayim B'Seser U'Vagoli. Second level, and its requirement for true spiritual leadership, is courage. The moral strength and spiritual power to fight a lonely battle to stand up against odds, to fight for what you believe and know is right. Now, I am not championing mavericks or ipchemistabrinics who are dissenters just for the fun of it. I refer to the need for principle and for the stubbornness that comes from seeing a truth when others are blind to it and then holding fast to it. The late Tapmir Rav, Zichrono Livracha, one of the stubbornest men of principle in our generation, once asked, why does the halachic formulation read, Yochid v'rabim halacha karabim? If you have one on one side and the many on the other side, the halacha follows the rabim. It's a rather strange formulation. It should simply say halacha karabim. The halacha follows the majority. The Satmar Rav answers, the word yochid, as often in rabbinic literature, refers to the Echido Shalolam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When do you follow the Rabbim? Only when Yochid V'Rabbim. When you know that the Rabbim is expressing the will of the one and only of the Rabbanu Shalolam. But if you know in your heart that that is not the throne of HaKaborei, that is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, stand up against the Rabbim. That Rabbim does not demand that the Halacha be with it. I'm not known to be a particularly avid supporter of Satmar, but this policy I accept as axiomatic. It is not an especially pleasant position to be in, but it is the right one. Many yeshiva musmachim of my generation, and they're sitting here in this audience, had to fight such lonely battles, and while some very few succumbed to weakness and gave in and gave up, others fought valiantly, and they prevailed. I want to tell you, your new mismachim, it's relatively easy for you to feel very good about yourselves for not accepting a mixed pew shul. You can feel good about it because we hardly have any of them. But your older colleagues, those who are here for their 40th anniversary, they had to battle that. They had to battle parking lots. They had to battle miserable community kashrus. They had to battle dirty mikvahs and people who laughed at it. And the list goes on, and there was very little support from any other kind of community. It was a lonely battle, and they fought it, and some of them are still battling it. Shalom v'icha v'yageidcha z'keinecha v'yerom lach. Ask them, and they'll tell you how the rabbinate and rabbinic leadership requires the courage to go it alone. You in your time, I can promise you, you will face other kinds of problems. Your leadership will be tested constantly and by both extremes. But if you are convinced of the rightness of your position, disregard numbers, and if necessary, defy the Rabbim in the name of Yechido Shel Olam. Do it cleverly. Do it strategically. Do it with seichel. But most of all, do it. Finally, there is a third and highest level of leadership that is the most demanding of all. Not all of you will reach it. I hope many of you will, because we have confidence here. It's even more difficult than standing alone against the world when you know you are right, when you are convinced of the absolute justice of your own point of view, when you can look it up. And that is the ability to lead even when the horizon is murky instead of bright, when the issues are muddled instead of clear, when positions are gray instead of black and white, and when all the alternatives are flawed instead of perfect, when you can't look it up and have nothing to consult but your judgment, when there's no Dvar Mishnah, only Shikul Hadas. At such times, and they come too often in the life of a leader, you have to take a position without the comfort of self-righteousness, with nothing more than a very earnest prayer in your heart to the Odeya Machshavos, that your good intentions be acknowledged by him whose glory you serve, and that they be correct and effective, and that ultimately your colleagues and followers will appreciate both your integrity and your wisdom. Such leadership requires a broad outside and not only a narrow inside rabbinate. It demands of you that you be Yedei Shamayim Bagoli, not only B'Seisa. Permit me to share with you what I told the convention of the Orthodox Union a bit over a year ago about this very theme. The Rambam in his Perish Mishnayos, on relevantly, the Mishnah that snores Harabonis, quotes the following Chazal. Kol mi shehatzibur memana oso parnes milamata nikra rasha milamala. Whomever the tzibur appoints as a leader here below, he is considered up above as a rasha. What a mouthful. What a strange, strange thing to say. Especially considering that the Rambam himself was a preeminent parnes of the Egyptian Jewish community. Similarly, the Zohar has a very similar thought on the verse on the pasuk Asher Nosi Yechta. The Zohar says Vada Yechta. What do you mean when the prince will sin? He certainly will sin. It's impossible for him not to do it. What are they telling us? You cannot attain the highest level of leadership, that of a parnas or a nasi, without, whether you like it or not, and you certainly don't, without somehow being tainted as a rasha or a chote. That is a tragic but inescapable fact. Leadership involves making hard decisions. Better yet, dirty decisions. Because you are faced by unpalatable alternatives, and you have to opt not for a perfect solution, but for one which is the least harmful and the least evil, but it is harmful. Anyone can make risk-free decisions, clear-cut choices between right and wrong, but it takes leadership to be ready to embrace the risk of being, as the Rambam says, a rasha milamala, less than perfect because of your choice, of being guilty of error, unintended. If by so doing you protect the integrity of tzibur milamata, of those Jews for whom you are responsible as an authentic leader. You cannot be a nasi unless you are prepared to be accused by some, even the most scholarly, the most prestigious, the most respectable, of being vadayechta. No great leadership is possible unless you are ready for such crises of moral ambiguity. If you shrink from it, you can be a fine person, a Talmud Chacham, a Rav is Yerei Shemayim B'Seiser, but you are not yet a leader and you cannot become Yerei Shemayim Bagoli. So I summarize. Rabbonis demands of you that you live on two levels. The Yerei Shemayim peculiar to the rabbinate, inside and out, as an individual and as a public persona. Your Seiser, your inner private personal life, was fashioned on our Beis Medrash. Your Goli will be molded as you encounter an often hostile world and seek to apply the norms of Torah and the values of our holy Mesorah to a world that is usually reluctant to learn and impervious to your teaching. The Goli world, unlike the Seiser one, is an arena of more questions than answers, more problems than solutions, of tormenting inconsistency, when you must make decisions and take stands where the issues are messy and murky and distasteful. But face it, you must. I recommend that you do so with chedvas achayim, with gusto, with brio, with zeal and enthusiasm, with a bright and lustrous love of Torah and Am Yisrael, and for heaven's sake, don't let anyone intimidate you. How will you know that you're on the right path? And if you can't know for a certainty, then at least what precautions can you take so that even an error, and they're inevitable, even an error will be an honest one. One way only. By making sure that your begolui is added to, but never displaces, your seiser. That you turn to the outside world without chas v'chalila turning your back on the inside one. That you always maintain contact with the Beis HaMedrash and the Torah that you learned and will continue to learn in it. That you always test yourself by the loyalty you maintain to your yeshiva and to your rebbeim. On the pasuk in Tehillim and Tanaya Appa, Chishavti Drochoi, David HaMelech says, I calculated my ways, I thought out my ways. The Yalkut in the Kukosai comments, Omad David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Shel Olam, B'chol Yom V'Yom, Hayisi Mechashe V'Omer, every day I thought to myself and I said, L'makom Ploni Ani Holech, B'Beis Dira Plonis Ani Holech, I'm going to go to that place, I'm going to visit that home. That's what I thought. Chishavti D'Rachai. But, V'Hayu Raglai Mevios Osi L'Vote Knesios L'Vote Medrashos. What happened in fact was, that my feet carried me. Where? Not to Mokom Ploni and not to Beis Din Plonis. They carried me to the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. No matter where you go in life, no matter what destiny beckons to you, no matter what other designs you have for yourselves, no matter where you plan to go, let the magnetic attraction of your years of Torah learning at this yeshiva pull you back. And let your feet restore you to our Beis Medrash of Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan and Yeshiva University. Your feet will bring you back here as long as your heart and soul and mind remain here in the sacred precincts of this Mekom Torah, where you were nurtured, where you grew as mature B'nai Torah, and where you were given Svichas Chachamim. Do that, and you will be in a remarkable position. You will face the outside without relinquishing the inside. You will be Yirei Shemayim, both B'seisad u'V'goloi. You will go without leaving. You will move on without moving away. In that spirit, we say to you, Seischem l'shalom, uvoachem l'shalom. On behalf of myself and your distinguished Rebbeim, I wish you kol tov. May the Rabbono Shel Olam shower all his blessings upon you and your families and grant you every hatzlocha lahagdil Torah ulahadira.
I'm proud to present to you at this time Rav Nachum Lem, Horeinu v'Rabbeinu, Anasi Rosh HaYeshiva.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rothman. Before I begin my shiur, I want to thank Rabbi Rosenzweig for asking you on my behalf to be mispalel for my father. And I want to offer my warmest thanks to Hillel, to Avraham, to the entire editorial committee and all of the SOY for this presentation of the Beis Yitzchak dedicated to me. It's a most welcome, most pleasant surprise. Katonti mikol hachasadim, but much appreciated. Harbe lamadati merabosai umechaverai, says the Gemara, yosei merabosai umitamida yosa mikulam. Having learned from my Talmidim more than from anyone else, we also know, as the Rambam says, with regard to avas Hashem and das Hashem lefi hadeya ha'ahava. The more you learn, the more you love. And so all I can say is I genuinely express not only my appreciation but my affection and my ahava for all of you who thought of this. It's a very encouraging thing. I thank you. Now down to business. Our theme for today is one that I chose because it's part of the Masechta that the yeshiva is learning, Masechta Gittin, and it has to do with Shmitas Ksafim. Shmitas Ksafim means that, and we'll come into it in a bit more detail in a moment, that on the year of Shemitah, the end of the year of Shemitah, all debts were released. All chovos, all debts were automatically released. So if I owed you money, and it came to the end of Shemitah year, on that particular moment, at the end of the year, just before Rosh Hashanah, all debts were canceled. And Hillel then was Mesakein. Well, let me read it. It's the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav Medalef. I'm sure the Talmidim remember it. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah in Shviyas, the 10th Perek of Shviyas. Tanan Hasam. Prusbul Ena Meshamet. A prusbul, which means a special takana made by Hillel HaZaken, that Shemitah should not take effect, that the debts should not be cancelled. Ze echod men advarim shehiskin Hillel HaZaken, one of the things, one of the takanas of Hillel HaZaken, he noticed that because of changing circumstances, changing economy, that people stopped borrowing, and rather they stopped lending. And people refused to lend money one to another because they didn't want to lose their loan when it came to Shemitah year. And therefore, he noticed, because they were stopped lending to each other, avru amasha kosev b'Torah, they were over what the Torah says. The Torah says, Hishamilacha Penyya Dovar and Levavcha Blial. Take a lot of care lest something malicious happens to you. You become mean and malicious and evil. And you say, Karvash Nasa Shemitah. The Shemitah year is coming, and therefore I will not lend any money because my investment will be destroyed. And therefore they were over on that Avera. So what did he do? Omad v'hiskim prusbul, and therefore he was mesakin the prusbul, which means a special way whereupon you in effect turn to the Bezdin and say that the Bezdin will take over my debts, and since the halacha of losigo is not allowed to exact payment on shviyas, goes only for private individuals, it does not go for Bezdin, therefore the Bezdin in effect becomes the collector of my debt, my chovos, my halva, and Shemitah does not cancel that debt. This is the Gemara. Now, interestingly, even before we go into the substance of the halacha involved, I find it rather puzzling that Hillel, the Mishnah attributes to Hillel that he saw that they didn't want to nimnu mela halva zelazeh, so he was afraid that we're going to be over and yishamalacha peiyeh dover in levavcha bliyal. If you look at the pasuk itself, you read as follows. It's in the A, perek tesvav, pasuk tes. He shamalacha peiyeh dover in levavcha bliyal leimar kova shnasa sheva shnasa shmita. Beware lest this terrible thought occurs to you, this destructive thought occurs to you, that Shemitah is coming along, v'ra'a, with an ayin, v'ra'a b'eincha b'achicha evyon, and you'll have a begrudging eye towards your brother who is impoverished, who is poor, v'lo sitein lo, you will not do what? Give him. What does giving mean? Is that lending? It's tzedakah. V'kara alecha l'Hashem, v'haya b'cha chet, he'll call up to God about you, complaining about you, and you'll be guilty of sin. What is that pasuk talking about? V'lo sitein is not a mitzvah to lend, it's a mitzvah to give. Therefore, we're speaking about tzedakah. And the pshat, the ordinary pshat in the pasuk is that as Shemitah comes closer, you will reduce your tzedakah. Don't forget, we're talking about a country where Shemitah is observed. And therefore, you'll say to yourself, why do I have to give this poor man tzedakah? Let him wait a month or two, let him wait a week or two, and he'll borrow a year, and he'll be able to come into my field and take everything he wants. It's all for free. Why should I go out of my way now to give him tzedakah? That's the pshat in the pasuk. It's evidently so. I must tell you that this question is asked by the Milchus Chinuch, and he says, Ein Hachanami. That is the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is the speaking of tzedakah, not halvar. Elamai, he says, it must have been a Kabbalah by Chazal that this pasuk also refers to halva. Namely, since Shemitah is coming close, therefore I will not lend him. But the pshat in the pasuk, and he says, Ein mikra yosem idei pshuto, is lo siten lo. I'd like to suggest that, well, the Milchus Chanuch says it must have been a Kabbalah, and Kabbalah he nekabel. But I think actually the pshat is also there. If you read the Merutza Sapsukim, the pshat is the way Chazal said it. Pasuk Aleph, which begins, Miked Sheva Shonim Taaseh Shmita, begins the law of Shmita, Shmita's Ksofim, till the end of Pasuk Zion. And then the Torah switches from the law of Halva to the law of Tzedakah, and says, Ki yeh b'cha evyon me'acha da'achecha b'acha sh'arecha b'atzacha et serva, lo sa'amis es tavachva, lo sipchas es yotcha mechicha evyon, the two laven for withholding tzedakah. Then the Torah switches and says, the Torah now continues, and now that you have a mitzvah of halva and a mitzvah of mitzvah zolsas of tzedakah, then the Torah now combines halva and tzedakah, takes them both together, in a mitzvah asay, ki pasoach tiftach es yadcha lo. What is that? That's a daka. Pasoach tiftach es yadcha. V'ha ve'ta vitenu, and lend him. Dei machsor asha yachsala, which goes back to the beginning of the pasuk. So you have now both of them together as a mitzvah asay. Then the Torah turns in our critical pasuk, and again combines both in the losa asay, because hisham alecha pen is always a lav. That's already the lav on halvar. V'lo siten lo, and you wouldn't give it to him. If tzedakah, you will neither give him nor lend him, because Shemitah is so close. On the one hand, you're afraid of your own investment, so you won't lend it to him. On the other hand, you say, it's practically, it doesn't pay. He's going to have it anyway in a short time. Then the Korolach Hashem, v'hayabacha chet. So you have both tzedakah and halva, first in a lo sa'aseh, and first in a mitzvah sa'aseh, then in mitzvah lo sa'aseh, and then the Torah returns nasa and titan to the union of tzedakah. So then, what we have in the Mishnah is that Hillel, seeing that loans were, that the economy was stagnating, people were not lending, poor people couldn't borrow, he went and he made a great takana. He was mesake in the prusbel, which is a means whereby, as I mentioned, the chovos are all given to Bezdin, and therefore he protected the Hisham Alecha Peniya Dovram and Levavcha Blial, and to protect this, he was mesake in the prusbel. This means basically, that what is the nature of Hillel's decree? Apparently, it was a siyag. It was meant to protect a diaraisa. What diaraisa is it meant to protect? Hisham elecha peniyeh dovarim lavavcha blial. That's mashma from Rashi too, who says specifically that we are dealing with a siyag. Rashi in Lamed Vav Med Aleph, if you have your Gemara, it's the that the man turns to bed and says, Masani lechem, I hereby give it to you, Eshtarosai, my deeds, my IOUs, my promissory notes. Shatem to you, Noxim vani loegas, you collect, not I. Ulekaman muki, the Eshkerich v'yacham lafkiya mamash uzevelit and lezeh, b'mokam shiyesh siyog v'takana. It says siyog, a fence around this lav of Hisham Alecha Pen, in order to protect that, Hillel went and was mesakein the takona, prusbel. However, while this Mishnah seems to indicate that it's a siyag, that is not the mashmoas of the way the Gemara describes it. At the end of Lamed Vav and Mid Beis, the Gemara says, my prusbel. Prusbel is a strange word. Obviously, it's not Hebrew. So what is a prusbel? And the Gemara gives a kind of drush, prus bule ubute. It is meant, it's a takana for both the rich and the poor, that the rich should be able to lend and not be so worried about their investments, and the poor should be able to get a loan in order to be able to survive. And it even turned to a la'uza, which means probably a Greek-speaking citizen, and asked him for the pshat, and that basically is a pshat. What is the mashmos of this Gemara? Is it a siyag? There's no siyag here. Instead, it's a takana meant to protect people. It's meant for the good of society. So whereas the mashmois of the Mishnah is that it's a siyag meant for the good of Allah, a siyag of the Torah, a geder for the Torah, from the Gemara, the pshat in the Gemara is mashma, it's meant as a takana for aniyim and ashirim, and therefore it's meant for the tikkun, the correction of the chevra, of society as such. We will call it today, we will call it tikkun hachevra. If you want to use a language that that Chachmei Yisrael used in the Yemei HaBinayim and generally the philosophical literature, especially the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, he called it tikkun hamedina. He treated society as it were as a political state. It meant for the betterment and the welfare of the state. We would today say tikkun hachevra, the betterment of the welfare of society. He wanted to make sure that society is able to progress. Now, we seem to have therefore two different approaches to the nature of prosbul. The first mention of this distinction and of the fact that there are two ways of looking at it, you'll find in the Kesef Mishnah. If you have your Rambams with you, you can turn to Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Sheni. The Rambam says as follows, Halacha, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Bezdin shagazru gzeira tiknu takona. Bezdin makes a gzeira takona. V'enhigu minhagu poshata dova b'chol Yisrael, it was accepted by the entire people. V'amad achreim bezdin echad. Then a generation too less, the bezdin cannot do it. Then the third halacha, when do we say that a bezin that is greater than the first lechachma of a minyan can be mevatel at takana? B'dvarim shalei osro osan kadei lasa siyag latorah lebeshar dinei Torah. Only if it was meant as a... was done as a siyag, if it was in the category of a siyag, which again means you're building a fence around a mitzvah to protect a mitzvah, if it's a siyag, then no bezdin, no matter how great it is, can override that siyag. Dvarim shelo bezdin digzer v'losan laso siyag. If it was done as a siyag, if it was in the category of a siyag, which again means you're building a fence around a mitzvah to protect a mitzvah, if it's a siyag, then no bezdin, no matter how great it is, can override that siyag. Dvarim shelo bezdin digzer v'losan laso siyag im poshat yisurim b'chol Yisrael, if it's accepted, ein bezdin godol acher yachol akran latina godol min harishonim. So the principle of the Rambam and Hilchas Mamrim is that a siyag can never be overturned no matter what the circumstances. So the Kesef Mishnah says, really? What do you do about prosbul? Here you have a case that in our sugya in Gitin, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, There were two attitudes towards Prusbul amongst the Amoraim, Shmuel and Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Shmuel apparently was what you would today call a judicial minimalist. He wanted to cut down the takana as narrow as he can. He said, Alui Yasher Chayli, he said, if I had the power, then Avatlinu, I would be Mevatel the Prusbul. Rav Nachman said, Lua Yasher Chayli, I Kamenu, I would even expand the Prusbul. Let's turn to Shmuel for a minute. What is he saying? If I had the power, I would abrogate the Prusbul. He doesn't mean to say it, you know, in a kind of colloquial way. I wish I could do it. He's saying something very definite. If I had the power, what does having the power mean? If my bezdin were greater than Hillel's bezdin, b'chachma v'minyan, I could be mevatel. But how could he do that? The Rambam just said, if it's a siyag, you cannot be mevatel. Elamai, says the Kesef Mishnah, you must conclude that it's not a siyag. That the Rambam holds that it's a takana, it's made for a tikkun achevra, and that's the meaning of tikkun olam. Hillel made it because of tikkun olam, he wanted to protect society. He did not have in mind the protection of a posik. And when he says, because there'll be over the Hisham alecha peyia dover and blavavcha b'liyal, it was not meant to be taken as more than an asmachta. But in essence, it was not meant to protect a lav as a siyag. It was meant as a takona. This is also mentioned by the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer tells us in his Chidushim that according to the Rambam holds that Shmita Sksofim Bizmanazeh is the Rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan. And therefore, the Prusbul is an ordinary takona that Hillel was mesaken. But those who hold like Rebbe, those of you who are acquainted with Sugya, who hold like the Rabbanan the Rebbe, who are Shmita Bizmanazeh is not Midi Rabbanan, but Midi Araisa, according to them, the Prusbul is a siyag. And that's an important principle, the Chasam Sofer tells us. If you hold that Shmita Bizmanazeh is Midi Rabbanan, then the Prusbul obviously is not a siyag, it is a takana. If you hold that Shmita Bizmanazeh is the Araisa, the only way to get around it is through a siyag. So the Prusbul becomes a siyag. The Chasam Sofer sees this distinction in another Gemara in the Sugya of Prusbul. The Gemara asks, when Hillel made his takana, was his takana meant to be forever or just for his generation? The Dorei Takin or the Dorei Alma Takin? Did he make it only for his Dor or for permanently, forever? Says the Chasam Sofer, what is the difference? If you say that the takana, Hillel's Prusbul was a takana, a plain takana, then it's the Dorei Takin. He made it for his generation. Another generation can overrule it. Why can they overrule it? Because they're bigger bezin can overrule it if it felt that there was need for it. But if you say that it was a siyag can never be overruled, and that's the halacha of the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim. I would like to suggest that this principle of two ways of looking at the Prusbul will also explain another machlekes, and this is a machlekes rather, of the Rambam and the Ravid. And here, with regard to Prusbul. And here I'd like you to turn to Hilchas Shmita, Perek Tes. Halacha Tes Zayim, we read as follows. The Rambam says, "Kshara Hillel Hazokin Shenimnu Milahalvei Zeze Vrovna Lakosu Batori Yishom Lechapinye Dofer Mbliyal Hiskin Prusbul Kedei Shele Yoshami Tachol Vashiyalvu Zeze." This we know from the Gemara, from the Mishnah actually. Ein ha-prusbul mo'il elo b'shmitas k'sofim b'zman hazeh sh'himidi v'sofrim. This prusbul is effective only today, after Churban Habayis, when the shmitas k'sofim is only the Rabbanan. Were it the Araisa, it could not work. Aval shmita shel Torah ein ha-prusbul mo'il bo. To which the David says, Amar Avram ein ha-machuva, da Abay Yehudi ha-machachi, Avarov v'polog v'yama hefka bezn hefka v'hilkach noyeg b'chol zman. Let me explain what's going on, this machlokes of the Rambam and the Ravid, where the Rambam says specifically that the Prusbul only works when Shmita is the Rabbanan, but where Shmita the Araisa doesn't work, and the Ravid disagrees. The Gemara, and this is the major piece of Gemara that we are dealing with in the Sugya of Prusbul, the Gemara says as follows. Gemara asks a question. Being told about the Takana of Hillel, The Gemara says, "Umiikon midi de medeiraisa mishamta shviyas v'hiskem hilel de la mishamta." How's that possible? If the Torah says that shviyas shmita cancels all debts, is mishamet, how can hilel come and make a takana against the Torah? After all, it's a thing that can't be done. So the Gemara says, "Omar Abaye v'shviyas bismanazeh." You're talking about shviyas shmita nowadays. When, according to Rebbe, it's only the Rabbanan. Since Shvius is only the Rabbanan, Shmita's Ksofim is not Midiyaraisa, therefore Hillel could make his Takana. And what happened? What was the Takana? The Tiknu Rabbanan, the Tishamet, why did they make a Takana that it should be, that there should be Shmita's Ksofim, if the Torah says no Shmita's Ksofim? Zechel the Shvius. In memory of the original Shmita, Chazal said even though Midiyaraisa is not required, there should be Shvius. This was done earlier, probably in the days of Ezra. Then, says the Gemara, Hillel Sheninu Amel Halvazezra. This is tracing the history of the Shemitah Ksafim. Originally the Adaisa, then Bismanazer no longer the Adaisa. Hillel Ezra went and said, nevertheless, he should have it. Midrabbanan, as the Rambam says, Midivrei Sofrim. And then Hillel saw that it wasn't working. People weren't lending. So he went and is Misakan the Prusbal. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the answer of Abaye. So the Gemara says, so what are you saying now? That the takana of the Rabbanim was that really Midiyaraisa, a debt should be paid. It's not Meshamet. We say it should not be paid. So the Gemara turns around and says, Mi'ika midid Midiyaraisa, loy Mesham teshviyas, kina Rabbanim teshamet. How did the Chacham get off doing a thing of this? So the Torah says, if I lent you money and Shviyas came, you have to pay me back anyway. The Chacham say, no, I lose my loan. Why? Why should they say that? How can they say that? Now here the Gemara gives not one teres, but two tirusim. One is the same Abaye. Abaye says, Sheva al Tasa. There's a principle, Yesh koach biyad chachomim lakor dova menatora b'sheva al Tasa. Chazal can override the Adaisa where it's passive. Here it's passive. They say, whoever has the money keeps it. I lent you money, so come Shvius, you don't have to give it back. That's what Chacham can say. Rava has a different answer. And this is important. Rava says that the reason Chazal were able to make this takana, or Ezra was able to make this takana, that there should be Shviyas Bizman Hazer, is because of Hefka Bezn Hefka. When it comes to anything dealing with money, with monetary things, then the Chachamim have the right to take money from one party and give it to another party. Therefore, they have the right to take the money from you and give it to me or from me to you as they will. Now the question is, this second answer of Rava. So do you have it clearly? The first piece of Gemara says, how come if Shvius is the Araisa, how could the Chachamim, how could Hillel make a Prusbul? So the answer is the Rabbanan, Abaye's answer. Then you say, if it's the Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan get the right and the authority to do it? So Abaye gives one answer, and Rava says, Hefka Bezn Hefka, that's their right. The question is, this answer of Rava, that Hefka Bezn Hefka, does that go on the first Gemara, only on the second piece of Gemara? Namely, what is the authority of the Chachamim to recreate Shemitah? Or does it go on the first one? How would that be? The Gemara says, Midiyaraisa, there is Shemitah. How can the Chacham come and say there is no Shemitah? What could Rav have answered? Hefka Bezn Hefka. This is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, Rav's answer goes on both. And even though it's not mentioned in the first one, it goes on both pieces of Gemara. So either way, whether Shemitah's Ksofim is the Araisa or the Rabbanan, Hefka Bezn Hefka is an explanation. According to Tosfos, the Rav is Hefka Bezn Hefka goes only on the second piece of Gemara, which asks, what is the power of the Chachamim to reinstitute Shvius? But it does not go on the first piece of Gemara, which asks, how do the Chacham have the right to be Mevatel Shvius? Okay. The Kesef Mishnah says that the Machlokis of the Rambam and Ravid that we just read, that is the Machlokis of Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam holds that with Tosfos, that Rava goes only on the second piece of Gemara. Why does Rava go only on the second piece of Gemara? Because Hefka Bezn Hefka doesn't work if Shvius is Midiyaraisa. And therefore there can be no Prusbul when Shvius is the Midiyaraisa. That's why the Rambam says, if you say Shviyas Bisman HaZeh is the Rabbanan, Hillel had a Prizbal. Were Shviyas Bisman HaZeh the Adaisa, someday it will be, then it would not be able to work. However, that Ivid says that's only according to Abaya. But that's according to Rava, but no, that's only according to... So the Ravid holds that even if you say a Shviyas Bisman HaZeh is the Araisa, because he holds like Rava. He said the Imam comes only according to Abaya, but according to Rava, says the Ravid, even if you say Shviyas today is the Araisa, the same principle works, Hefka Bezn Hefka, and therefore even someday when Shviyas, when the Yekshe Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and Shviyas will be reinstituted with the Araisa, still the Prizbal can be effective, the same Takana can work. However, in adding to that, I would like to be mazbir that the same principle we said a few moments ago will operate in this machlokas Rambam and Ivid. Namely, the machlokas between them is a machlokas as to whether the nature of the Prizbal is a siyog, or that the nature of the Prizbal is a takana. Now that is that the Rambam will hold, as the Kesef Mishnah said in Mamrim, that the Prizbal is a takona, nothing more than a takona. And therefore, when the Rambam writes, Va'ovidin al-Masha Kosev b'Torah, Hishama l'char pe'yi adover am'blofka b'liyal, that I just quoted, l'cha'ora, the Rambam in quoting the Mishnah would seem to be arguing for a siyag, which is exactly against what we've been saying. However, that has to be taken again, in a way of quoting the Mishnah, and just as he reads the Mishnah as not being literal, it's not meant really as a siyag, but rather as a kind of rationale for a takana, therefore it can't be taken as a literal thing. Basically, the Rambam goes with the Gemara, which is more explicit, Pruz Bulei Ubutei, it's meant a takonas, basically a takonas aniyim, and lo linol delas v'fnei halovin, in order to make it possible to continue business, and therefore it is a tikkun ha'olam. I think that is the same principle keeps on working. There's another machlokes that Rambam and Ivid that will be explained according to this principle. In Perek Tes, we have two interesting halachas in the Rambam, halacha Yazayin and halacha Chaf Zayin. Please bear with me. Rambam says as follows: Ein kosvim prusbul elo chachomim gedolim biyoser. The only ones who can have the authority to write a prusbul are those who are the greatest chachomim, such as Bezdin shel Rabbi Ami v'Rabasi, shehein ru'uyin afkia mamon b'nei adam. They have the right to take money away from one party and give it to another. Shar bate dinam ein kosvim. No other bezdin can write. That's halacha Yud Zayin. Now we turn to halacha Chaf Zayin. Now, what did he say in Yud Zayin? Who can write a prusbul? Only the biggest, the bezn choshev shabai seidar. Chaf Zayin. Talmidei chachamim shehilvu zeh mosa dvorav l'talmidim. What happens if it's in the Bes Medrash? Talmidei chachamim, they borrow money back and forth. And comes Shvius, instead of writing a prusbul, one says to the other, Marsani lechem shachol chov sheyeshli shegvenu kol zman she'eretz. Listen, the money that you owe me, well, let's make up that I can collect it whenever I want to. There's no writing, there's no shtar, there's no prusbul. He says you can do it. Why? It's only the Rabbanan, and we are Rabbanan, so we can override it. And we can do it by simply notification. The Ravid objects. He says, Dvorov sosin zeh ezeh. Simple to the point. What's going on in this machlokes? First of all, how do you explain the Rambam? The Ravid is obviously pointing out to a major inconsistency. Here he says only a bezna choshe shabos adar. Here he says, Tamidei Chachamim can come, and doesn't say which Tamidei Chachamim. Tamidei Chachamim can lend one another, and they can, by simple oral statement, and in effect create a prusbul. Moreover, I'd ask another question that Ivid does not mention. Why this discrimination? Ordinary balabatim have to go to court and have to have a prusbul. Talmidei chachamim can get away with an oral operation. Why change on the contrary? And the answer, of course, must be that Ivid is going from the point of view of a siyag. If it's a siyag, then he has a question. How can you discriminate? We know from the Gemara that when you're dealing with a siyag, there's no such a thing as discrimination. I'll give you an example. The Gemara in Shabbos, Bamei Madlikin, speaks about, I'm sorry, in Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara speaks about Shemayata, Leyikra La'or HaNer, Shemayata. On Shabbos Friday night, you can't read by candlelight, because maybe you'll bend it over, you'll be over Kibui, so to protect the halacha of Malacha and Shabbos, Chazal forbade reading by candlelight. So the Gemara says, Rava says, but an Adam Chashuv, person of distinction, can do it. Why? Because he will remember. He won't do it. So the Gemara says, no. What do you mean won't do it? We know the story of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. And there are two different traditions. One says he was reading La'or HaNer and he almost did it. He wanted to do it. The other one says, no, he was reading and he did it. So you see that even an Adam Chashuv can get into trouble. So it's Rava who said that Adam Chashuv is exempt. But none of the Rishonim passing like him. Not that Rabbi Elchanan is against, says specifically against him. The Rif doesn't quote the Rava. The Rambam doesn't quote the Rava. So you see that when you're dealing with a Siyag, you can make no distinctions between Talmidei Chachamim and everybody else. And therefore that Ivid holds, you see, because the question of Rabbi Avasi, let me explain. In our Gemara, there are two statements about who has the right to write a prosbo. One says, Shmuel says, only the Bezdin shel Rabbi Avasi, which means only the single most important Bezdin around, can write a prosbo. The Gemara later on says that the students of Rav Ashi used to exchange oral prosbos, as it were. Came to Shemitah time, they would not write, but they would say. So for the Rambam, this is no problem. Why is it no problem? Because he sees it as a takana. So what happens if it's a takana? How does that answer the question? We understand why Talmidim and Rav Ashi said it's a takana, but they know the reason for the takana. They take care of it. There's no problem. Insofar as ordinary people are concerned, that was the takana of Hillel, that only the most important Bezin should write it in order to give power to the takana. People should see that the prosbul is real. So for ordinary people, it was a tikkun olam. The olam, really, the ordinary people have to have a strong prosbul of Bezin, Rabbami, and Rav Ashi. Talmidei Chacham don't require that. You're dealing only with that takana. But according to that Ivid, who holds that as a siyag, if you hold it as a siyag, you can make no distinctions between one and the other. That is why he turns to the Rambam and says, you're safe to yourself. If you have to have a bezin of Rabbami or Rav Ashi, you no longer can say that Talmidim Shehivu Azelze, which refers to the Talmidim of Rav Ashi. 1 second. What's that? Yes, the Rambam sees it as a machloek, as two different pieces of Gemara, and it doesn't paskin Vaslim Elayim. He's going against Rav Talmidim of Rav Ashi. He says only with Shmuel, only the idea that Bezin Shel Rabbami of Rav Ashi. That's why he says Sosin Zeze, because he holds it as a siyag. I want to say a few years ago in one of these shiurim, I spoke about Sof Zman Kriyash Mel Shel Arvis. I don't expect you to remember it, but in case you do, you shouldn't think that I'm repeating it without telling you. I pointed out that the Rambam consistently makes this distinction between siyag and takana. Not only here, kind of half directly a mamrim, but he also does it in the hakdama to Mishneh Torah. He does it in the hakdama to Seder Zrayim. He does it in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Two different categories. One is siyag, and one is takana. I pointed out then that if you look carefully at the Rambam, there are two different makoros in the Torah. The makor in the Torah for a siyag is the asumi mishmeres, asumi mishmeres lemishmarti. Torah says, this is what you have to do. You have to make a siyag. In a sense, when the Chachamim made a siyag, that halacha became a chetzah of Torah itself. What is used as mishmeres for mishmeres is itself a mishmeres. So when the Torah made a siyag for a lav, that takana, that siyag, is a chetzah, is an object of Torah. It's Torah itself. But when it comes to a takana, that doesn't come from the pasuk v'asu in the mishmeres. That comes from the pasuk lo sasu mashi mei mashi yagidlecha yamin esmol. That's simply a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah, not to be over at divrei chachamim. And the takana does not become a diaraisa object, even if it's created by the rabbanon. It hasn't got the power of diaraisa. So it is a completely separate thing, and therefore there's no kasha on the Rambam. Because there is no stira. If you say that it's a tekana, there's no stira. It's that Ivadu says that's a siyag that has a problem with it. And for the Ivadu, for the Rambam, however, it doesn't exist as a problem. Now, what have we done, therefore? We've established that there are two approaches to Prusbul. One is that it's a siyag, and therefore it has it's a chetza of Torah. It comes from the pasuk, v'asuli mishmeres asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. Opposing that, the idea that it's a tekana, for the welfare of society, it comes from the pasuk of Lo Sasur, and that Rambam holds it's a takana, and that Ivad holds that it's a siyag. Now, and Rashi and Tosfos similarly will divide according to the same system. Tosfos will hold that it's a siyag, and Rashi will hold, no, Tosfos will hold that it's a takana, Rashi will hold that it's a siyag. Let me go to a related subject. The Rishonim ask a very simple question. What did Hillel achieve? What did he do here? He said that you can write a prusbul. What does prusbul mean? That you remit, you give your debts to Bezdin for them to collect. So who needed the chiddush of Hillel? It's a pasuk. The Sifrei learns from a pasuk that Moshe shtoroisav lebezdin eno meshamit. That if you give your shtoros to a Bezdin, Shemitah doesn't take effect. So, what did Hillel achieve? What is his chiddush? If it's already midiraisa, then I'm asked the question in our sugya. Rashi in Makkos, beginning of Makkos, says, interestingly, that the din of Moshe shtaros of lebezdin, that's Hillel. It's not the midiraisa. It was Hillel who was Machadesh the Halacha of Moshe Shtoros of Lebezdin, and that was the Takana of Hillel, of Prusbul. The Pasuk is an Asmachta Bialma. The Pasuk really speaks about a Mashkin, that if you have a Halva which has a Mashkin, it's not Meshameit. And that was what the Sifri meant. The idea of Moshe Shtoros of is Sugachep. It is simply added, and it is meant merely as an Asmachta. Tosfos reads Rashi the same way, that the major Pasuk, the major intent of the Sifrei in the Pasuk is Mashkin, but Moshe Shtoroisav is only the Rabbanon. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos holds that the Pasuk is in itself the halacha of Moshe Shtoroisav Lebezin. This is not a chiddush of Hillel himself. The Rishami is also Mashmakain. Rishami says, Nikan Samchul Prusbul Shimana Torah. It was Somech Prusbul Mana Torah. And this as well is the shita not only of Tosfos, but of the Dva and the Ramban in our sugya. It's the shita of the Ran too. The Ran says that Moshe Shtoros of Lebezin is midiraisa. What then is the chiddush of Hillel? That's back to the original question. What did Hillel add? The answer is, he says, Hillel added that he doesn't have to actually give the shtoros to Bezin mamish. All he has to do is notify Bezin. Mosrani lechem, I'm giving it to you. Notification alone is enough. Before Hillel, you would have to be Moshe Shtoros of Lebezin. You'd have to take your shtoros and say, Bezin, here it is. File it as one of your documents, and then you collect. According to the Takona, mere notification substituted for actual deposition of the documents of the shtoros in Bezin. In addition, the Takona of Hillel covered oral debts. He made it. What is that famous Golanism? An oral debt is not worth the paper it's written on. Milva Baal Peh before Hillel was not protected, and after Hillel, the Prusbul was able to cover by notification. Since you don't have to actually give a shtar, it was able to cover the Milva Baal Peh as well. Now it's clear that the Shita of Rashi is more understandable if you say that Rashi goes along with the idea that the Prusbul is operative even if Shmitas Ksofim is the Araisa. Like the David, not like the Rambam. And that Tosfos will go along with the Ramban, the Ritva, and the Ran, in holding like the Rambam, that the Prusbul is Noheg only when Shmita is not the Araisa, only when it's the Rabbanan, and only then can it be operative. In Cain, the Rambam and the David disagree. They're Mechulik on the Yesod of the Takana of Prusbul, whether it's a Siyog or a Takana, and in the same way the other Rishonim we mentioned are divided along the same line. We have Rambam, Tosfos, Ramban, Ritva, Ran, holding that the Prusbul is a Takana, Raiva Danashi holding that it's a siyag. And since a siyag is there to protect a diaraisa, therefore it will be operative even when shvius is midiaraisa. Because it is a chetza of Torah, so this then is the shita of Rashi and the Ravid. If, however, you say it's a takana, then of course it does not, cannot work against the Araisa, and it can only be operative when Shvitas Ksaf Mizvah Rabbanim. You know, never before in giving these Shiurim Klolium every year, I think this is the 12th, 13th year I must be doing it, I've never mentioned any polemical notes, but I'm going to make an exception now with your indulgence. Anyone who's read over the course of years, as I have, a long, long time, you read any of the non-orthodox literature, basically anti-orthodox literature, of the various movements, so-called liberal movements in Judaism, they use Prusbul as a paradigm, as the model par excellence for showing that basically you can do whatever you want. Nowadays, it's fashionable to say, this proves that where there's a rabbinic will, there's a rabbinic way. That you can really do whatever you want, and Chazal, and the Chachamim today, if they had the courage and the guts, can, like Hillel did in his time, do whatever they want and override any of the Adaisa because the conditions of the time call for it. Here you have an example par excellence of how overstatement for ideological reasons can be very dangerous. You take a valid idea, and there is a valid idea that's hidden there. What is the valid idea? That our Chachomim were concerned about the welfare of Jews. There was Shalodin Oderes Befnei Lovin, there was Kondas Hashovim, Chosim HaMamonim Shal Yisrael. Chazal, of course, were concerned with how Jews live and the welfare of our people. But when you take this idea and you stretch it illegitimately, what you end up with is an absurd thing, that you can change the Araisis at will. As if we can all get together and by popular vote we'll declare ourselves a Jewish law commission, and by majority vote we're going to override any of the Araisis which doesn't suit our fancy or which we think in all sincerity is necessary to do. Can't be done. There are certain things that simply cannot be done. What we have, it's just not infinitely plastic. It's not infinitely plastic. Our conclusion from this year, at least so far, was, it is a conclusion, that there are two ways of looking at a Prusbul. If it's a siyag, it is meant to protect, not to override a diadaisa. And if there is a conflict of two diadaisas, the siyag comes to protect the one that is considered the more important, as it were, the more significant one. And incidentally, we don't make siyagim nowadays. There are siyag Torah stopped in the days of the Tanoim, according to Reb Chaim Voloshin. So if you're dealing with the diadaisa, the siyag is operative, but the siyag is meant to protect the diadaisa. A takana can be made, but a takana can be effective only if it does not violate the diadaisa. Only if you're dealing with the darabonan and the takana is meant to enhance the intention of the halacha, not to violate it because of reasons that may come from outside ideologies that have nothing to do with yahadus. Enough polemics. Let me now conclude by saying that I've tried to show that there are two approaches to the Prusbul, Siyag and Takana. It goes through Rambam and the Ravid, it goes through Rashi and Tosfos, it goes through the Ramban, the Tvoran, etc. Actually, both groups of Rishonim, taking either side, can be shown to differ on one single letter. The whole Machlokas revolves about one single letter in the Mishnah in Shvius. There are two Gersaris. One of them reads, Mosrani, that the language of the Prusbul is, you come before the Bezin, and you say, Mosrani lechem, shekol chov sheyeshli belongs to you. That every chov that I have is yours. The other one takes the word shekol chov and eliminates the shein. Mosrani lechem kol chov, I hereby give you every debt that I have. What is the difference? No? Mosan elechem kol chov means what? Gentlemen, here are my documents. I'm giving you my chov. Mosan elechem shekol chov, what does that mean? I am now giving, what am I giving to you? The authority. The Rambam says, Ani meyid lechem. I'm testifying. I'm here making a statement. Morsani lechem, I'm making a statement. What is my statement? Sheh kolchov, that all my debts are now officially in your possession, even though I'm not giving you a single piece of paper. So, and there are, actually, there's an Ashkenazic nusach of the Mishnah, and there's a Sephardic nusach in the Mishnah, if you're thinking, excuse me, being too much chachem.
Please remain seated just for one moment. I have one quick announcement to make. Beyond, of course, thanking Rabbi Lam for the shiur, I also wanted to bring to your attention that the luncheon will take place at 12 o'clock in the Belfer Commons. So those who are coming to the luncheon, please move now directly to the Belfer Commons for the luncheon, at which time there will be a special presentation to the Rabbinical Council of America. The